Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
And welcome to the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler, talking money and investing, and I'm here with Mr. Ira Work today. All right, man, we're gonna tee it up here. There is a bunch of good stuff today. I have a lot of good stuff that I think you guys are gonna like talking about. Just really interesting things going on in the world of finance. A lot of stuff going on worldwide, and Lord only knows where all that lands. But we'll get to talking about all of it, and going to be talking about finances from all different angles. I thought one of the things I would talk about, you know, it's interesting how quite often we allow taxes to drive the bus when it comes to our finances. Mm-hmm. I was like having a conversation with a friend of mine, a different part of the country. And, you know, just dealing with the tax issues of, you know, let's say if you're selling a piece of property. And it's interesting because we can be very financially astute, as he very much is. And the thing that can be a challenge is getting our emotions out of the investing process. And our emotion is going to be anything from investing emotionally as far as, what do I think is going to happen to the economy going forward? What do I think is going to happen to Russia, China, Iran, Israel? Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff on the table right now. A lot of stuff to be thinking about. But in general, just talking about selling a piece of property, and, you know, thinking, hey, you know, do I buy, you know, hey, I've got this big capital gain in the property. And a lot of people deal with this, and I thought it would make a good radio show topic just because a lot of people do deal with it. And mm-hmm. I thought in general, a lot of people would benefit from this conversation. But you have a piece of property and you have a large, very large capital gain pent up if you sell the property. Now, so the capital gains rate, if you're in a 10 or 12% tax bracket, zero, you know, if it's a long-term capital gain, if it's, you know, if you're above that up to the very highest tax rate, 37%, you have a 15% and you could have some surtaxes. And then you have, you got the small surtax relatively, and then you've got the 20% rate.
Yeah, but let's keep
for capital gains.
But let's keep in mind that if you're single, that first $250,000 of capital gain is not taxed.
And well, you're talking about residence. I'm talking about rental property, investment property.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, the situation, you know, we got a 1031 exchange. Can I go into like-kind property is the idea. And when you go into like-kind property, you can avoid that capital gains tax. Well, the issue really comes down to this, and some of the things that I have people think about regarding this is when you are thinking about this trade in properties, because that's basically what it is, a trade in properties, you have to ask yourself a lot of questions. And one of them is, hey, you know, if you are looking at an undiversified asset, like social, like you would have with real estate, mm-hmm. then you could be saying, hey, am I in the Hotel California? I can check out anytime I like, but I can never leave real estate. You know, so I'm stuck with a piece of property and I keep going from one property to the next and I keep avoiding the tax, but I can't diversify away from that. And the question is this: I have this undiversified asset. Well, that means that something bad could happen to that asset, that value of that asset, whether it be, and you know, you may look at Nashville and go, it's a hot market compared to a lot of places in the nation. But are you buying at the top was one question. Number two, do you have a situation where, hey, you know what, maybe as time goes on, Nashville doesn't necessarily go the way politically you'd like it to go, and all of a sudden tax rates start going up and decreasing the value or the attractiveness of property in the market. do you have a situation where possibly maybe the industry in the area starts to move away and decreases the amount of demand for properties? Do you have a situation where interest rates could actually negatively affect property values, or interest rate changes in general affect it one way or another? And the question comes down to, what is really, really important to you? You know, are we letting the tax tail wag the dog? In other words, am I looking at this thing and going, the only thing that's important to me from a financial standpoint is avoidance of taxes? I did that article a while back, Ira, where I was talking about the number one determinant, according to this study, of financial success was the portfolio design and the return of the investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. Yet so many people focus all their attention on what?
Returns.
On taxes.
On taxes. Yeah. And returns.
Yeah. Well, returns is what we want to focus on. Returns was the point I was making.
Well, I think first we should be focusing on risk. And well, then returns. And then taxes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So but for, what we're doing is we're focusing so much time on taxes and on Social Security. You look at all the workshops on finance around, and what do you see everybody talking about?
Social Security, for
yeah,
the most part.
Yeah, Social Security, you know, looking at things that really aren't the real big deal when it gets down to it.
Well, I get a lot of those. I get a lot of those invitations to those Social Security seminars that are being held at libraries now, and they're all done by insurance agents selling high commission products. So why are they selling to and advertising to seniors for Social Security?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's where the money is.
Well, I had a guy that I was working with in another state again, and it was it was interesting because he had been sold an annuity. Mm-hmm. By a person that was in his church, mm-hmm. and put $400,000 in this thing about, oh, I think it was 8 years ago, as I recall, about 8 years ago, it had grown by $5,000. Mm-hmm. And he was just kind of fit to be tied, but, you know, he was told, hey, safe, safe, safe. Yeah, it was safe.
It was safe. His principal was very safe. It's not growing, but your principal's very safe.
Yeah, it was relatively safe, but, you know, yeah. He's like, oh, he was disgusted by it. But
that'd be like me putting sprinklers on my house and saying it's safe from a fire. And just constantly having sprinklers right. Water my house.
Whatever. and here was the situation. It was looking at, you know, that number one, the real estate. Number two, I made the comment. I says, hey, you know, because he's talking about, you know, the possibility that, you know, that you could have this potential growth of properties and then having a family member actually manage the properties. And I says, okay, so when we look at this, we got to think about something else. Another aspect of this is that, you know, you could be selling the real estate and have a large gain. But then you're going to reduce your returns if somebody else is actually going to be managing the property for you. So now we have another problem on our hands. It's an undiversified asset with lower returns because of the fact that you're having to pay somebody to manage the property, number one. Number two, it could be a situation that you have somebody that you like, maybe a family member, managing the property, and now you got the situation of, can you let them go if they're not performing the way you want them to perform in managing your property? Now, all of a sudden, you got a familial problem on your hands. And you know, you could have that situation. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, when you look at this and you say, well, how long would it take me based on market history to recoup the taxes paid if I just went and paid the taxes and diversified the portfolio? And if you look at that and go, even if it's a 20% tax rate, historically speaking, we're not talking about a huge amount of time before the taxes are recouped, mm-hmm. you know, when it gets down to it. And, you know, this is why it's so important for, and we always talk about this, thinking about your purpose when it comes to investing and when it comes to money. Your purpose may not really be to just save taxes, and that's a big deal. Now, you may have a purpose. You want to help out a family member, but could you be enabling that family member? And could you be holding them back because you're just basically, it's like the cocoon and the butterfly. If you have the caterpillar and you help the caterpillar out of the cocoon, what do we know?
We kill a future butterfly.
You kill it.
Yep.
You know, because when you help somebody too much, it actually can cause more problems for them down the road, just like it killed the caterpillar or the future butterfly, as Ira said. You know, so is there another way to actually exercise your value or actually have your value achieved other than doing what you're doing? But it's one of those things you think about, you know, because, you know, real estate is a skill. And I don't mean that you shouldn't do it and it's a bad thing for everybody, but the reality of it is a lot of people do it because they think it's such a great investment. But historically, the return of real estate is actually slightly lower than the S&P 500, number one. Mm-hmm. You've got tremendous risk when it's an undiversified asset. And then you have the situation where you may not be able to rent it. You may go with a long period of time without any kind of income coming in whatsoever. I mean, think about real estate investment trusts. They're often sold with a 7%. 8%, you know, return, and then all of a sudden, what happens? Once you buy it, that return just dries up. And we've had so many people that's happened where they're stuck in something and they can't get out of it. You know, so there are a lot of reasons you have to really, really think about. Are taxes the only thing that you ought to be thinking about when it comes to investing?
Now, I don't know if you saw the article in the National Business Journal last week, but it was talking about Sumner County, where you happen to live, mm-hmm. and how Nashville actually has fewer people moving into Nashville or Davidson County because Davidson County has gotten so expensive, mm-hmm. and the building that's been going on in Sumner County, the commission is not happy with that, to the point where they're actually thinking about and kicking the idea about putting a moratorium on future building permits.
Mm.
Because they don't want Sumner County to become like Davidson County.
Oh, interesting.
So you have more people moving out of Nashville or not moving into Nashville because of how expensive it's gotten, mm-hmm. talking about what might happen in the economy. You go, you buy.
Well, you think about, yeah, I think you're making a great point there, Ira. It's something that politically happens or somebody mm-hmm. actually changes some rules, and all of a sudden your investment isn't necessarily as attractive anymore.
Right.
Really great point.
Or you're thinking about or reading old data, thinking about all these people, 100 people a day are moving into Nashville, and it's old data that you're actually reading and thinking, oh, let me just go buy some rental properties and I'll be able to rent them to all these people moving in. When more people are moving out, creating maybe a glut of rental property, so you can't get the price that you might have thought you can get.
And when we talk about politics, you know, for so long, there has been, very conservative leadership in the area. If all of a sudden that changes, you could have a problem. You know, so there's just a lot of things to consider regarding these types of things. Really, really be careful, because so often I see people think, hey, I'm really, really sophisticated. I'm avoiding taxes. When in reality, when you look at it and go, well, how long would it make up the taxes? And you don't know. I mean, I can't say for sure, because markets will be variable. Mm-hmm. Investment markets, even if you diversify perfectly, it can be variable. But just think about the fact that it could be that something is driving the bus as far as your investment decisions that could actually be problematic for you down the road because something unforeseen happens to a single asset class. You know, nobody would think about going and sticking all of your money in one area of the market, one segment, one sector of the market, whether it be, technology. I mean, think about that. I wouldn't put it all in energy stocks. I wouldn't put it all in real estate, that area of the portfolio, or I wouldn't put it all in consumer durables or anything. I wouldn't want to do that. And that would be an entire sector, which might represent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of companies. We wouldn't think of doing that. What about single property? That is really precarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. So just something to think about as far as investing goes. Recognize that it's very emotional. Number one, the emotion is taxes. I don't want to pay taxes. I feel like I'm getting ripped off when I pay taxes. That's an emotional thing. I feel like the man's getting one over on me, right? Mm-hmm. It's an emotional type of thing. Or I want to have a family member manage the property. It's an emotional thing. And now it may not necessarily be good to do that, as we've talked about, but just recognize this. And as I've always told people, I'm not going to tell you, do this, don't do this. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff to think about, because that's what I see my job as being, is the person that helps you think through these decisions. That's the idea behind it, is to come in and say, hey, with all of these factors or these possibilities, do you still want to do this? And a lot of times, sometimes you might say, yeah. Sometimes you might go, maybe that's not the greatest idea in the world. And that is why there's safety in the multitude of counselors, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. And if you're going to make a mistake, at least you're going into it with your eyes wide open.
Right.
Thinking, well, I don't think it's going to be a mistake, but when you find out maybe it is, you kind of knew it to begin with, or you, at least you had the option up front.
Right.
As opposed to 8 years later when you see that your investment made $5,000 on $400,000 investment, it's a little bit late.
Yeah, yeah, that was brutal. Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20-plus years experience. They're all degree planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon. All right, Paul Winkler, Ira Work, talking money and finance. PaulWinkler.com is the website. So, Ira, what would it be like, you know, just managing $1.6 trillion in assets? I mean, just think, 1.6, having a podcast on finance. And we got a podcast, you know, right? You know, so yeah, we got right, so, $1.6 trillion in assets.
So here's how I'm going to answer that question. In the last segment, you started off talking about, you know, what do you think about what's going to happen with Israel or Russia or interest rates or this or that? And I would think that most people wouldn't even know what to think about what's going to happen with Israel and Russia and interest rates. And I don't know what it would be like. I think it would be pretty cool. I really wouldn't have to manage another account.
I'm just thinking, I mean, talk about pressure.
Yeah, well, but if you think about it, all you have to do is focus on that one account.
So this guy manages this huge, huge podcast.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you think about what really makes for a podcast that people would find exciting about finance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the interesting thing is I did a little research on this because this is from the Wall Street Journal. And I was doing some research, looking around. You know, he's got these listeners from all over the world. And apparently this guy has a quote unquote knack for interviewing CEOs of companies before they come out with big announcements. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is going to be really interesting because, of course, why would the Wall Street Journal interview a person like this or talk about a person like this unless this is like a really phenomenal, because usually media does that. They will interview people or talk about people or give them all kinds of press when they have severely great returns. You know, it's just really how it goes, right?
Right.
So I did some research on it to look up what the returns were. And they did. I found the returns from 1998. And without giving, you know, I'm not going to give too much information as far as what it was, but I will just relative returns versus the S&P 500, almost 2 percentage points. Oh, no, it's over about 2 percentage points lower than the S&P 500 per year. over that period of time per year. If you look at it versus value stocks, about 2 percentage points less. If you look at it versus small caps, over 3 percentage points under per year. If you look at it versus, international small companies, about almost 3 percentage points per year less return over that period of time. The only thing that it was comparable to, and this is the point of this, was international large companies. That was about the only thing, and the return was just slightly above international. Now, the reason I bring that up is this particular person is from Norway. So, in essence, if we look at the investment portfolio, it would probably be more international. Mm-hmm. And this is a problem when we are too focused on either U.S. stocks or international. And because you can go long periods of time where, let's say, the S&P 500, large U.S. stocks have no return, as I've talked about before. But as you can see, you can go long periods of time where that area of the market, international large companies, doesn't have much of anything going on. And that's, in essence, what we see over the past 26 years. Not a whole lot going on there. Now, that explains to me why the journal actually focused on this person, because the returns were above the asset class. They're a bit above the benchmark over that period of time, which makes him a hero. But the reality of it is, if people were more diversified, I named all of those asset categories that has significantly higher returns over the same exact period of time. You know, so in essence, what happens, and here's the main problem. The main problem that I want to point out in this is, you'll hear me say this all the time. It may sound really good that somebody has a knack of talking to CEOs before they come out with big announcements. Now, that may lead people to want to invest in something like this. This person seems to have a knack for timing, quote unquote. I use the word timing very specifically. But what we know is, when we look at pension managers, Brinson, Hood, and Bebauer study, 91 pensions, 100% of the time, when they engaged in that, they hurt returns. They did not help returns. But yet, this is what attracts the attention of financial publications and thereby attracts attentions of mutual fund managers, because if they want attention from the financial media, they must engage. And if you look at it, you have funds, some fund companies that have funds that don't engage in that. But why do they also have so many funds that do?
Because people will simply buy those funds if they have good returns. That's it.
They will go after that. They will go after that, because instincts tell us go away from pain, go toward pleasure. And if you have some kind of active management that does well, stock picking, market timing, maybe you have a good run for a while. I think a Kathy Wood. It's just one of these situations where it seemed like everything she touched turned to gold.
Well, the only really smart one was Peter Lynch, because he knew to get out at the top.
Yeah, he beat the market 11 out of 13 years.
And got out.
And got out. Exactly.
See, he was smart enough to know that he couldn't keep doing that.
Right.
That's the difference.
Precisely. But, the reality of it is, I think Leg Mason tries. I mean, that was, 15 out of 15 years? Outperformance? Didn't get out. And then, it got painful. Bill Miller, the manager of that trust, and was legendary. When I first started this show, I kept hearing his name, and I'm like, oh gosh, if I hear his name one more time. And then, now I can go and say, see, I told you so.
Right.
And that is really what it gets down to. So, to me, it's when you hear somebody and engaging in this, which companies should we be with? Which CEOs are really doing great things? Which companies are really rocking it and coming out with new great products, it's not a great way to invest. Yes, that is how we often invest. That's often how we think about things. Because we think that's where returns come from, is finding things that are just the diamond in the rough. And yet, this typically does not end well for investors. But it doesn't stop people from trying. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.